Some things in Scripture are only true in the spiritual realm. Other things in Scripture are universal. They're true in the material realm and in the spiritual realm. And those are the kinds of things that Jesus could use parables to illustrate and develop. And this morning's lesson is based on a very important universal truth in which from time to time we need to make the application that what we struggle with in the material realm, we also struggle with in the spiritual realm. And so Jeremiah says this, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Now, we can take this spiritually. We can also take it physically. God did not put within man the ability to remain oriented without external things to guide him and lead him in the way that he should go. And because of that, in the material realm, we need a compass and we need a map. If we are in any kind of a set of circumstances where we lose our orientation, in other words, we can't figure out what direction is north, south, east, and west, upon which we base our decisions on which direction we need to go. Because if we go somewhere without knowing the direction that we're going, we could end up further and further away from the very place that we are trying to get to. And we see this all the time in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, we see people who, by their choices, based on a lack of orientation, based on a lack of direction given them from the Scriptures, are going further and further and further away from heaven. And yet they don't realize that if they knew that, they would turn around. But the same thing is true in the material realm. Without a compass, without a map, without a GPS, which we now have most of us in our cars and in our phones, so that when we become disoriented, in other words, we get lost. We're going somewhere. We not only can't find the place, but we've gone off in a direction and now we don't even know how to get back. And we are completely disoriented. We don't know which way to go in order to bring ourselves back into where we know what we're doing and where we know where we're going. And we know it's easy to get lost. We've all done it. Now, it's harder to do it today, although once in a while the GPS will send you on a wild goose chase and you'll end up lost anyway. But the point is that without God's help, we can't get to a new place. We just can't do it. And so God gave us the tools in the material creation. When God created the heavens and the earth, he said this, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Well, that, of course, we know the sun rises, the sun falls, sun sets. Let them be for signs and seasons, days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. So we see the dual nature of the sun, the moon, and the stars. And God created them to keep us oriented. Doesn't matter where you are in the world. It doesn't matter what time of the day or night that you are. You can always get yourself back oriented to direction. Now, that may not help you. You may know where north, south, southeast, and west are and still not be able to find your way back, but God has given these reference points so that we can do that. So God gave the lights for signs. Now, he's not talking about horoscopes. He's not talking about signs that would direct us in any other way, except the sun's rising and falling always gives us east and west. Always. The sun always rises and falls, showing us where east and west are. In the evening, we have stars to orient us to north and south. In this hemisphere, we have the North Star. In the other hemisphere, we have the Southern Cross, which shows you south. So no matter where you are in the world, you can always figure out where north and south are, based on knowing where that star is. Now, this is something that we should be teaching our children. Because one of these days, under certain circumstances, that might be the only way that they can figure out where they are. But God also gave us similar tools in the spiritual creation. So just like you and I can get lost in a material creation, if we are not being careful, if we are not watching where we are, keeping north, south, east, and west clear in our minds, and keeping the direction in which where we're going has to be, we can get lost. And we need to cultivate that same attitude, because, brethren, just like we go from place to place in the spiritual realm, we are also moving in the material realm, we're also moving in the spiritual realm. So the reality is it's actually far worse in the spiritual creation than it is in the material creation. Because we don't really know where we are before we become a Christian, and sometimes even after becoming a Christian, we're just not aware. Jesus talks about the cares of this world, the desires for other things, choking out the word, which would tell us where we are. He speaks about persecutions and tribulations, which lead us to no longer trust in the word. And so, but once again, God left signs, and it's interesting that he left those signs at exactly the same time that he made the creation. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Do we go through life knowing where we are in the spiritual realm based on the things that are made, revealing to us the eternal power, or everlasting power, and divine nature, or Godhead? If you didn't wake up this morning with God on your mind and go to him in prayer, if you go through the day without continually having him in our consciousness, we can get lost, we can be disoriented very, very easily. So we have to find those things, we have to find those things that can keep us oriented. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Now, are we looking at that? Are we thinking about that? When you get in the car, you take the time to punch in, if you have your phone, here's where I'm going, so that she will tell you, or he, depending on who you've chosen, but it will tell you, turn here, turn here, turn here, turn here. You don't have to think about where you are or where you're going. It's doing it all for you. But before we had that, or if you don't have it, if your phone dies and you don't have anything in your car, we've got to go back to the basics of north, south, east, and west, and then the grid. First thing I do when I move to a new community is I try to figure out which roads are going north, south, which roads are going east, west, and then I can put myself. So 25 gives me one direction, except for one little area where it gets a little confusing. But generally speaking, east and west, you can orient yourself based on I-25 and which direction or where you are on it. So I can figure that out. And if I know where I'm going is on this side, I'm in pretty good shape. Now, for north-south, we also have to have a line. And that line, a little more complicated here. I mean, 70, but most of us live too far from 70 to really use that as our guide for which would be on the north and which would be on the south. But you can find surface roads and you would do the same thing. Now, why am I going into all this? Because it's a parable. We have to do the same thing in the spiritual realm. We have to have certain guidelines, and we have to know, where am I in reference to those guidelines? So the heavens declare the glory of God. Well, what have I picked? Have I picked the sun, the sunrise, the sunset? Have I picked the firmament, the clouds, the thunder, the lightning, the tremendous power, the various things, the sun, the moon, the stars? What have I chosen? And where am I in relationship to that? Am I on this side, trusting God, seeing God, in fellowship with God, walking with God, feeling His presence from the moment I wake up until the moment I go to sleep? Once we learn to hear that voice, it's tough to lose your way. And you will know when you are leaving that, because it will be clear. But we need to assess it every day. Here's what can happen. Although they knew God, they didn't glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful. All right, so there's part of my grid. I see the things that are made. I glorify God. I thank God. When I'm not glorifying God, I've got a problem. Something's wrong. I need to go back and say, wait a minute, I'm getting disoriented. I'm not thinking clearly. So this is a critical part of our life as a Christian, is, as Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That needs to be somehow or another in every prayer. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. So we need to glorify Him as God and give Him thanks. If we stop thanking God when we eat our food, big red flag. Big red flag. Now, every once in a while, I'll be sitting down, I'll have two or three bites in my mouth, and I'll go, oops. And I'll stop, and I'll give thanks, because I know I've lost my way. That's not how a Christian acts. Paul said, it's sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. So prayer needs to be a part, and thanksgiving needs to be a part of every meal. That's just like I-25. I know if I'm on this side or this side. I know whether I'm east and west, and if where I'm going is on this side or this side, then I can have some idea of the direction I'm going in. Here's another one. If you pray and you give thanks, that's a dividing line. That's a guideline. And when I'm not doing that, red flag, I'm lost. I'm getting disoriented. I mean, we need to understand that. We need to recognize these people knew God. But because they didn't glorify Him, because they weren't thankful, they became futile. They started thinking foolish things. Their senseless heart or foolish hearts were darkened, and they became fools. That doesn't happen overnight, but it happens. And we've all met people that it has happened to. And so it's critical for us as Christians to figure out what our guidelines are going to be. And each one of us can choose our own. It doesn't really make any difference what they are. It can be prayer for our food. It can be our attendance of services. It can be, I mean, it depends on what we're weak on. If we have a certain weakness, then we recognize this is a guideline for me, and I can't cross that or I'm going to get lost. What about the scriptures? Do we refer to them? Do we think about them? Are they guiding us? Are we like the Bereans, searching the scriptures daily, memorizing them, especially the ones that are critical to whatever it is we're dealing with? For example, in the last few weeks, we've been talking about abominations. We've been talking about various things that are abominations, and for some of us, they're not abominations. If we grew up doing something, we don't see it as a problem. We can't really understand, why do I God made that wrong? It doesn't seem wrong to me. Well, there's a critical, clear area where you could get lost, where you could get disoriented. Those scriptures need to be in our minds so that when we violate them, red flags go off immediately. So I need to memorize my specific weaknesses, my specific abominations, my specific areas, doors I've opened. I need to get those scriptures, just like I-25, just like I-70. I need to have some kind of a reference point to see what's going on here. Where am I going? This doesn't make sense to me. We don't want to wake up one day gone. The path of the righteous is as the dawning light. Why? Because they're using the scriptures as their guidelines. They are finding those scriptures that are the most practical to them. And they're making them frontlets for their eyes, signs on their hands, written on their doors, written on their gates. Wherever they go, they're there, oriented. I know where I am, know where I'm going, know if I'm going in the right direction, know if I'm going in the wrong direction. This is something we all have to do. You know, we've all met people. They say they're directionally challenged or they're always getting lost. Well, you know why they're always getting lost? Because they haven't developed the proper guidelines to orient themselves. Once you have those guidelines, and like I said, it'll depend on where you live, but everywhere we live, there are streets that go north, south, east, west that we can use as our guidelines and try to understand, here's where I am in reference to that, and you won't get lost. Well, the same thing is true in the spiritual realm. The path of the righteous is a dawning light. Because we've found our landmarks, we've placed them, and we keep them so that we can see them whenever we need them. It shines unto a more perfect day. But the way of the wicked is as darkness. If you don't have any of these guidelines, you don't know where you're going. And so, if we look to the world, which of course is the majority, we don't respect the map, we're going to become hopelessly lost. And again, we've all met people who have done that. I look at people who have fallen away, and I just shudder for them. I think to myself, how in the world could they do that? How in the world could they live day after day, not being terrified when they go to sleep at night, realizing they're one heartbeat away from eternal judgment? But they don't see that. They're lost. They're in darkness. They're not oriented anymore. And brethren, if it can happen to them, it can happen to anyone, and it can happen to us. And so the clearest way to stay oriented is to find those areas that cause us to become disoriented and put a landmark so that that won't happen. And then we know, I just violated my landmark. I'm on the wrong side of it. I need to repent. I need to turn around. I need to come back. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. And some people say, well, I know he's doing it, so I don't have to worry about it. That's not what this verse means. It doesn't mean that you can just blindly go wherever you want and God will guide you. Matter of fact, Jesus says it's the opposite. He says you have to strive to enter the narrow gate and you have to strive to stay on the narrow path because the multitude is not. So in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. But based on what? Based on Scripture. If we don't know the Scriptures, remember what Peter said? Or no, actually it was Paul in Acts 13. He said, the Jews, not knowing the Scriptures, fulfilled them. And it isn't a good way. The Scriptures said, the rulers are going to reject the stone. The Scriptures said that the people and the Gentiles would gather together against the Lord and his anointed. Those should have guided them. But they were hopelessly lost. Even though they knew the Scriptures, they fulfilled them. Because they didn't have the proper landmarks. They didn't realize. When the Messiah does come, and Jesus kept telling them this. He said, what do you think it means when it says the stone which the builders rejected becomes the head of the corner? Well, they didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to understand. They stayed lost. Thus says Jehovah, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. There it is. That's what I've been saying since we started this lesson. You get your roads, you get your landmarks, you get your paths, and then you orient yourself to them. Same thing in the Scriptures. God says, come back. Ask for the old paths where the good way is. And walk therein. And you will find rest to your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now, most of us aren't there yet. We're not saying we won't walk therein. But sometimes we're not walking therein because we're just not paying attention. We're just getting a little bit lax. And we've got to learn. You know, I remember that story as a young man. The little boy with the finger in the dike. And understanding if that finger gets pulled out and it erodes to a certain point. There's not a finger. There's not a bulldozer. Nothing can stop what's going to happen. That's what happens with Christians. We have to learn how to keep the finger in the dike. Because Satan would love to overwhelm us in the floods of lust like David had, or folly like King Saul had, or carelessness like Nadab and Abihu had, and it all ended up flooding and causing them to become lost. David was in darkness almost until his child was born. He was lost. Saul never came back. Nadab and Abihu were put to death. They missed the landmarks. We've got to look for those. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, that's not just for preachers. That's not just for people who are preaching sermons or who are trying to teach God's word. Now, it's dealing with that. But that term, rightly dividing, means cutting a straight line. It's a word they use for patterns. If you were going to make a dress and you put the cloth on the pattern, you needed to cut a straight line. If you miss the line on the pattern and you sew the dress, it's not going to fit. If you miss the lines on the measuring cup, the meal is not going to taste right. If you are building a road and you put a bridge in, and you don't get the lines exactly right when that bridge comes together, it might be too high, it might be off, but it won't work. We have to do that with the scriptures. We have to learn where our weaknesses are and get those paths where they need to be and stay oriented and realize, wait a minute, today I've slipped. Yesterday I gained, but today I've slipped. If we can look at our lives like that, if we're constantly assessing and looking and seeing, okay, today I'm a little further away than I was yesterday. Today I'm a little closer than I was yesterday. If we're doing that, we're growing and developing as a Christian. Because with life's ebb and flow, there are going to be days where we do better than others. But if we're aware of that, we can make adjustments. We need to be workers who know how to divide the word of truth. In other words, how to cut this word of truth to fit. Now, I can't do that for you. I can give you basic guidelines, but you have to take it the next step. And I have to take it to the next step. Because we are not oriented. It is not a man that walks to direct his steps if we don't develop the landmarks, if we don't develop the areas where we get lost, areas where lust drags us back to where we never wanted to go again. We need to be able to see. Because if I lose a little yesterday, and I lose a little today, and I lose a little tomorrow, I may get lost. I may lose my orientation entirely. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. When's the last time we did that with a sermon? When's the last time something was brought out in a sermon and you said, wow, I need to make a mental note of that. Wrote it down, went home, looked at the scriptures, built a landmark. And then the next time that sermon's preached, you say to yourself, well, wait a minute, I already placed that landmark, and I was here, but now I'm much closer to where I need to be. Well, the Bereans were more fair-minded, which literally means they were of an upper class. This is a word for nobility. This is a word for, as God assesses and tiers people, he sees people that are ungodly and will never serve him. He sees people who are noble-minded, continually putting up more landmarks, continually developing those areas where they get lost so they don't keep getting lost. And that's what Paul's talking about, I think, in Philippians chapter 3 when he says, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and stretching forward to what lies ahead. I'm constantly laying down new benchmarks, new guidelines, new ways to orient myself so that I know where I am. And it's critical that we do that. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Your word is a lamp to my feet, but you know it isn't if I don't make these applications, if I don't shine the light on my specific steps. And each one of us has our own walk. Each one of us has our own places where we frequent, our own areas that we go to. Some of them are in sin, some of them are in righteousness. We need to know what they are, we need to recognize it, and we need to put down the landmarks. We need to put the lamp, because, again, this is not something global. This is something individual. This is something we all have to do. We all get lost in different parts of the world. It wouldn't do me any good at all to figure out how to get around in a country that I don't live in. It wouldn't do me any good to get around in a state or a city I don't live in. You might say to yourself, you know, I grew up in this town and I never get lost there. Well, you're not there anymore. You need to figure out how to do it where you are. And as we live our lives, those situations change. And as they change, we need to be nimble. We need to be able to shine that lamp on our specific areas, whatever they are, whether they're sensual, whether they are entertainment on the one hand, whether they are doctrinal and spiritual on the other hand. Maybe we're wavering back and forth. Is the Church of Christ really the one true church? Could I be in another church? Are the denominations really wrong? If we're wavering on that, we need to lay down an entirely different set of guidelines. And that's what preachers try to do. They try to lay down guidelines every week, hoping that you'll incorporate them into your life. Your testimony, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. This man can't get lost, even though maybe his teachers are putting him in the wrong direction. I understand more than the ancients. I've restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I think one of the greatest spiritual compasses that we really need, this is one that I use all the time. I think it's something we need to memorize. I think it needs to be something that's readily available when we need it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Rationalizations. I learned that this was wrong, but I don't really know that I agree, and until I agree, I'm going to go ahead and keep doing it. That's leaning on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, once again, that's different for different people. My ways are different than your ways. People in India have different ways than we do. Different temptations, different trials, different circumstances. The gospel is broad enough and clear enough and distinctive enough that each person in each culture and society, whether it's in the first century or the 10th century or the 21st century, and the problems that we deal with, I mean, let's face it, we have different issues. We have the same lusts, but they're activated in very different ways today. It's much easier to activate lusts when you have a computer, when you have the ability to communicate, when you have a car where you can go wherever you want, when you work in an area where people don't know you. It's very different than the first century. In the first century, you had a specific set of people who knew you well. We don't have that. We don't have that, quote, peer pressure where I can't do this because everybody's going to see it. When you had to go to an adult bookstore, when you had to go to a liquor store, and somebody might see you go in there, you had a much greater ability to know where you are. Don't have that today. You can slip and slide and go way down without any ability. So what does it say? In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. So we have to trust God's guidance. So the one who gave, that should be stars instead of start, but the one who gave the stars so that at night I know where the North Star is, and when I'm in Africa, I know where the Southern Cross is. I've identified them. I know where they are. I haven't needed them yet. But if I did need them, I could look up there and I could tell myself, okay, I know where I am. I know I need to go north to get back where I am, but I don't know where north is. So I look up, oh, there's south. So now I'll look for the north. Go the opposite way. That's what God has done for us. But unfortunately, it's a little more complicated because sometimes it doesn't make sense. And I think I talked about this the last time I preached this lesson. If I blindfold you and spin you around and tell you, okay, now you go, which way is north? Now you may point in the totally wrong direction and nobody says anything, and so you go off in that direction. Now what do I know is going to happen? Well, you're absolutely convinced you're going in the right direction, and I know you're not. We don't look at the things which you're seeing, but at the things which you're not seeing. Brethren, that is a critical transition that we have to make. We have to walk by faith and not by sight. We have to be able to see things the way God sees them. And when we don't see them the way God sees them, we need to recognize, I'm about to go in the wrong direction, because I'm not seeing clearly. We don't look at the things which you're seeing, but the things which you're not seeing. For the things that are seen are temporary. You know, we've all heard this, I think God wants me to be happy, so I'm going to do what the scriptures say I shouldn't do for my short-term happiness, so that the things that I see make me happy. Well, there's a serious problem with that, because that's just temporary. So the seeing in the here and now has led multitudes of people to confusion. Because from a fleshly perspective, it would be much wiser for them to go in this direction. But the scriptures say if you go in that direction, it will end in death. There is a way that seems right, but the end is death. So we have to learn to unquestioningly trust the man. Jesus was very clear. There's going to be a lot of things that don't seem like they're the right direction. Our street, where I live, starts in one direction, and by the time you get to the end of the street, it's just kind of like this. And you end up going in one direction, and by the time you reach the end of the street, you're going exactly the wrong direction, exactly the opposite direction. Now, most of the time, when my children come, they get lost. Because in my area, there is no north or south or east or west. The streets are all just kind of meandering. And one minute they're going one direction, and the next minute they're going another direction. And by the time you've gone to two or three intersections, you're hopelessly confused. And if the sun's straight up, you're sunk. There's no way you're going to find your way out. It's confusing. Well, Jesus said that's how spiritual life is. And you've got to constantly be oriented. In other words, you've got to be able to feel it. Okay, right now I'm going south, and as I see myself going around the corner, okay, wait a minute, I'm not going south anymore. Now I'm going east, or I'm going west. So we have to be able to do that. Because if we don't, we could end up in the ditch. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, we can stray off the path. And sometimes we'll get one step, sometimes we'll get a couple of miles. Sometimes we're so far off, it's going to be tough to find our way back. Because God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. I think I'm going the way God wants me to go. I think God would want me to sing with instrumental music because it makes me so happy. And if I'm happy, I'm giving praise to God. Well, that's how Cain thought. It doesn't work that way. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. That's not the way to honor God. Making yourself happy is not the way to honor God. Submitting to God is the way to make God happy, not making us happy. If we don't trust with all our hearts, and there are people in the Church of Christ who are really struggling because there are so many realms where the Lord has directed us in a specific direction, and the older and wiser sage men and women in the congregation are going in that direction, and the young people are looking at that and saying, narrow-minded, bigoted, these people think they're the only ones that are right. None of that is true. But those people are about to get hopelessly lost. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. That's why we need to know the scriptures. That's why we need to know our specific weaknesses and troubles, because for all of us, there's a line. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, and God will give you the way of escape. But you can't find it if you don't know how to look for it. If you don't see the evil and hide yourself, you're going to end up like David. David would have, if you told David 3 days earlier, David, you're going to commit adultery and murder, coveting your neighbor's wife in just a few days. I'm sure David would, there's no way that could happen. But somehow, David lost his way. That temptation on the rooftop didn't just arise out of nowhere. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. Is that us? Are you prudent? Have you found the areas of struggle and dealt with them? There are certain Bible characters that are near and dear to the hearts of all of us because they're like us. We're compassed by a great cloud of witnesses. Now, there are some people in the scriptures, their testimony is not going to do me very much good because it's not, doesn't fit what I need. But as we read through the scriptures, we will find those men and women God has placed there so that we can lay aside the weight and the sin and run with endurance in the right direction. Run with endurance the race set before us. We can learn a lot from those who found their own way. I see the lesson's taken a little longer than I wanted it to, so I'm not going to deal with this point too much. But as you look at these various weaknesses these people have, you find your own. Maybe you don't lust after evil things. Maybe you don't murmur. Maybe you don't make trial of the Lord. Maybe, but there's something in there that we all need to learn and avoid. So we need to keep our eyes focused on God's reference point. We've already looked at these scriptures. They need to be in our mind from the moment we wake up until the moment we go to bed. We will get lost. We will get disoriented. We will lose our way if we don't focus on these things. And so, as God said, you turn things upside down. Shall the potter be esteemed as clay? That's what we see in the world today. There are so many people today who are just making God like they are. And whatever they like, that's what God would like. But the truth is, you are our Father, we are the clay, you are our potter. So, the question we all need to ask ourselves, do we need to turn around? Did I touch anything? Is there anything in this lesson that you don't want to hear another 4 years from now when I preach this again? We need to fix it now. Some of you won't be here. Well, I don't know that for sure. I'm not a prophet. But some of us may not be here in 3 years. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. Brethren, that is a critical reference point. It is a reference point that we need to have in our minds. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That has to be. I don't forget my sin. When I commit a sin, first order of business. Repent. Change your mind. Show your godly sorrow. Confess that sin. The sooner you do that, the quicker you become oriented again. So the lesson is designed to make us think, to get us oriented again. I don't know what realms you struggle with. You don't know what realms I struggle with, but I know we all struggle because there's no temptation but such as is common to man. We all have temptations. John said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and we make him a liar. Don't fall into that trap. So as we pick up our songbooks, and we're going to turn open to number 268. And it's amazing to me that after all the times where God should be irritated and frustrated and starting yelling, it's still, hark, the gentle voice. Jesus is meek and lowly. He treats us as long as we're in this life. He treats us with love, compassion, mercy, and hope. And no matter how far we've gone and no matter how lost we are, the gentle voice is falling tenderly upon our ears. As we sing the song of encouragement, if there's anyone in the audience who needs to respond to that call, who needs to obey the gospel, who needs to repent of their sins, who needs to ask for the prayers, who needs to make a decision to make better use of time and understanding, we'd like to give you that opportunity if you'd like to come forward while we stand and sing.